Brother Russell's Views, 1916.
Brother Russell's Views, 1916. The good news is I have nothing new to share with you that you don't kind of know already. There will be no new truth shared with you today. At some point in each of our walks, we just kind of want to know stuff. We just kind of want to know how things went. Why would our dear brother believe certain things? What compelled him to write certain things? How did he learn things? What was his view on chronology? What was his view on the Messianic Kingdom? What was he thinking between 1912 and 1916? One observation I made in this study for myself is that I felt like this was a snapshot in time. I felt like I was looking at a picture. And you think, well, how old is this picture? Well, if you think about it in this way, when our Lord returned in 1874, this was only 9 years after Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. I mean, it just seems like a long time ago. So in this study, I felt I was observing a brother, our elder brother, of course the seventh messenger, working hard to promote the truth and being diligent to study for himself. And most importantly, he was being diligent to make his own calling and election sure. So was Brother Russell a prophet or a messenger? Well, if you could ask him that question, you know what his answer would be, because he actually wrote, "I'm not a prophet." While we believe he was an irreplaceable instrument of the Lord as that messenger, Brother Russell still had to make his own calling and election sure. When would you want our Heavenly Father to judge you for life and death? Would you want it to be at the beginning of your Christian walk? Would you want it to be in the middle of your walk with the Lord? Or at your death? Well, of course, we want to be judged at the end of our walk, whenever that may be. As the scripture reads, "Be thou faithful unto death, and at death I'll give thee a crown of life." Just as it was with Jesus, he was judged at his death. We are judged at our death, and of course the reason is for the Father to establish at our death if we have become Christ character-like. It takes a lifetime of experiences to teach us and train us in righteousness. Lord willing, that will be when we are the most proven, when we are the most trustworthy, and Lord willing, the most wisest. So on that basis, would you agree that Brother Russell was likely the wisest just before his death? I believe the answer is yes. Brother Russell was wisest just before his death. And this is an important point to consider, to ponder. What thoughts did Brother Russell have regarding key dates, and how did he handle various questions just before his death? In studying this and pondering this, when we look at his life's written work, for illustration purposes, just consider this with me. If we could extend a long imaginary clothesline in front of us, we want to arrange some of his thoughts in date order as they were written. Let's say on this side here, this is what he believed in the beginning of his walk. And then as he wrote things, they progressed this way. And over here is what he believed just before he died. So let's study some of the things that he wrote just days and weeks before his death, and then some months and some years before his death. If we look at this imaginary clothesline, where would your beliefs harmonize on this clothesline? And so that you understand me, if you enjoy his thoughts early on in his walk compared to later on, I must give you Christian liberty. It is not for me to say. That's your liberty as a Christian. But just, I ask you to consider this. Would we hang on to one of Brother Russell's beliefs taken from the early part of his life if he changed his view as he became wiser, more knowledgeable? One of Brother Russell's earliest views, even before he wrote The Tabernacle, was that he did not believe the ransom was for the world. Did you hear that? Brother Russell didn't believe that the ransom was for the world. I know you don't believe the Bible teaches that. So should we grab on to this view and hold on to it no matter what? I don't think so. If we do, we are not allowing the commands of the Scripture, which say, study to show thyself approved unto God. But of course, Brother Russell quickly grew and knew that this wasn't the case. He evolved. So when we consider reading all of Brother Russell's writings, consider not holding on to one particular thought that he had and just cherish that one thought. If you do, you may be shortchanging yourself from deeper, wider gems of truth. We want to learn from him. He was a brother who had to make his calling and election sure. He grew, he evolved, he became wiser. He had these thoughts for a reason. Just weeks before his death, reprint 5983 contains a section called Questions for Advanced Bible Students. There was a whole list of them. Question 8. This is a question he asked his readers. What is the work of Jesus during this gospel age? During the time from Pentecost until now? So written in 1916, what can you deduce from this question? I want to read it again. What is the work of Jesus during this gospel age, during the time from Pentecost until now? Brother Russell believed when he wrote this in late summer 1916 and published in November 1916, just 2 weeks after his death, that we were living in the gospel age. Reprint 5972, and I quote, "The ransom price, the corresponding price for Adam, has already been placed in the hands of justice. Jesus did this. It cannot be applied piecemeal, a little to each one, when applied. It must be applied for all at the same moment. Why must it be applied all at one moment? Because it is just the one life. It would require the entire merit of Christ's sacrifice for Father Adam, and it would require the entire merit of that sacrifice for any one of the children of Adam." He goes on to say, "The ransom cannot be divided up into millions of parts. It is to be implied for the entire race, but not until the Father's time has come for turning over the race to the Redeemer. Not until his appointed time for the Redeemer to take possession of the race as kings of kings and lords of lords, to establish over them his glorious kingdom, to release them from the power of sin and death, and to give them all the restitution privileges which his ransom sacrifice makes possible." End of quote. Reprint 5891. And how beautiful is the thought, when shortly our Lord will pay over the ransom price for the sins of the whole world and have the world immediately turned over to him for restitution work, the church will be with him in glory, sharing his honor and his throne, and as now they share in his sufferings. We like that. Reprint 5980, quote, "Those restitution blessings will be fully and completely released when the last member of the Spirit begotten shall have gone into death." End of quote. This brings about a beautiful discussion. Why beautiful? It explains how the ransom is applied for the church and then for the world. Here's another question posed to Brother Russell 14 days before his death. Reprint 5973. Question. Brother Russell, would it be proper for us to suppose that the world might begin to receive its share of restitution blessings while some of the members of the church are still in the flesh? Brother Russell's reply, no. And he put an exclamation point. This would be an impossible thought. The whole merit of Christ is mortgaged by the imputation which Jesus has made of his merit to the company consecrated during this age, the church. This mortgage must be fully released completely before the new covenant can be sealed by the church and put into operation for giving restitution blessings to Adam and to his race. Hence, we are not to expect any restitution, either of the ancient worthies or others, until the little flock shall have passed beyond the veil and the great company class shall have passed through its tribulation. Wow. End of quote. Our wise and faithful brother was positive that not a drop of restoration blessing would befall mankind until the church and the blood from that sacrifice seals the new covenant. It's a very clean and tidy process. Reprint 5973. God's plan, therefore, is to hold that ransom price in reserve until the due time for the inauguration of Messiah's kingdom. and then apply that price and transfer the whole race at one time to Jesus, to the Messianic kingdom. Then, during the millennium, it might be proper to say that everyone will be receiving the restitution blessings as his share or participation in the ransom merit, but strictly speaking, the whole blessing of the whole world is the ransom blessing. End of quote. So in 1916, just 2 weeks before his death, Brother Russell felt completely sure that the completion of the church and any restitution available to the world would follow in that order. In fact, he made it clear that this line of thinking would explain the ransom and its application. There's more for us to study there. Reprint 5972 and 5973, talking about the sin offering, and the heading is Offerings Made During the Gospel Age. Talking about the church, I quote, "The priestly class includes those who keep their covenant arrangement voluntarily and heartily, lay down their lives in the Lord's service. Any others who receive of the Lord's favor during this gospel age and fail to get into one or the other of those two classes cannot retain any restitution blessings or privileges, but will die the second death." End of quote. So, of course, Brother Russell's thought was no special blessings can come to anybody during this gospel age except the church or great company. And why? Because only those two classes are on trial for life and death. Only those two classes will be exposed to special blessings. He also felt that when the future restitution blessings do come, they must actually come through the church class. This is why he wrote and preached in his sermons that the church had to be complete before any phase of the kingdom was implemented. Why? Because the repercussions to mankind were too great. Reprint 5880, question 18, another question asked of Brother Russell. Has the ransom price been paid yet? No. And he uses another exclamation point. For reasons already given, and we will say additionally, that the ransom price is not fully paid until after the church has been entirely glorified and with her Lord. Then it will be paid on behalf of the whole world, securing the release of the whole world from death and the cancellation of Adamic condemnation. Reprint 4986. From the very time when the kingdom shall have been established, the world will be on trial. End of quote. I find this statement alarming, because if we feel that the millennial kingdom is in full swing, or any swing, Brother Russell states it means that the world is on trial right now. And if I believe that the world is on trial, then I'm saying that, oh no, they're in big trouble. They must all be doomed again, certainly based on their evil ways, and we know that they are not doomed again. We know that because that opposes God's character. And so we know that they're not on trial now. Reprint 5873. But the sin offering, which includes your sacrifice, will all be completed before the glorious reign of Christ begins, his church then being with him in glory. Reprint 5864. I'll read various quotes from this page. And this was written in 1916. What should be the course of those who are prospective citizens of the great government about to be established, which will control the affairs of earth under the headship of Christ Jesus, earth's rightful king? We should do good unto all men as we have opportunity, especially the household of faith. He goes on to say, as loyal children of the great king of the universe, who is now about to inaugurate his kingdom in the hands of his son, we pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. He continues to write, wherefore, brethren, seeing that you look for these things, the overthrow of the existing order and the establishment of the glorious kingdom of God's dear Son, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Reprint 5853, written in 1916. We deny that anybody has ever had the right to set up Christ's kingdom, and that we still properly pray the Master's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. Reprint 5844. Another question. But Brother Russell, what is your thought as to the time of our change? Were you not disappointed that it did not come when we hoped that it would? His reply, no, we reply, we were not disappointed. But brethren, those of us who are in the right attitude towards God are not disappointed at any of His arrangements. We do not wish our own will to be done. So when we found out that we were expecting the wrong thing in October 1914, then we were glad that the Lord did not change His plan to suit us. We did not wish Him to do so. We merely wish to be able to comprehend His plans and purposes. Reprint 5845. When the Lord's time comes for separating His little flock class, He will make no mistake. Let us therefore keep ourselves in the love of God. Never mind what anyone else thinks. Of course we are to love and serve the brethren, but even when we do our best, some of the brethren may misunderstand us. But trust it all in the Lord's hands. He will take care of the entire matter. He goes on to write, do not decide about anybody else, but let each of us watch himself and see to it that he keep his heart in the right attitude toward the Lord and the brethren. St. Paul says, judge nothing before the time. He continues to write in reprint 5836, the kingdom will come. And the Lord wishes us to have this thought, the kingdom is coming. To give up praying would be to give up our faith. Continue to hope. Continue to believe. Continue to pray without ceasing. Continue to say, thy kingdom come. Continue to long for the time when the kingdom will bless all the families of the earth. He goes on to write, but we would not want to hasten the Lord's time 1 minute. Even though we pray, thy kingdom come, this does not mean that we wish to have the kingdom come before the Father's time. We must take our instructions from the Word of God. Let us as true, obedient children conform our views and our conduct to the words of counsel which our Father has given us. Reprint 5829. Jesus did not pretend to tell His people how long or how short the time would be before the establishment of His kingdom. He declared that matter fully in the divine care and not proper to be revealed to God's people then. But elsewhere, He did tell them of certain indications that would give them at the proper time, by which they would know and be enabled to at least lift up their heads and rejoice, realizing that their deliverance was drawing nigh. Reprint 5916, the words of the prophet given in our text refer to the close of this present gospel age. As mentioned earlier, in 1916, Brother Russell felt we were in the gospel age. From 5916 again, when the kingdom is fully inaugurated, the suppression of vice, evil, will be in a manner and to a degree never attempted by any earthly reformer. There will be no license to do evil in any form. The only liberty granted will be the liberty to do right. End of quote. This was Brother Russell's view of the kingdom of God. Reprint 5917, under the heading, Lift Up Truth's Glorious Banner. Brother Russell writes, tell them that the death of Jesus was for the redemption price for the entire race of Adam, and that His return is for the purposes not only of delivering His church, but to bind Satan and set free all his captives, including all who are in the graves, giving all who will an opportunity to come into the liberty of the sons of God under the terms of the new covenant soon to be established. End of quote. Written in 1916, Brother Russell proved this to himself, and he wanted us to know that. He thought at that point that the new covenant was future. This gives us some things to ponder and study. Reprint 5896. God has promised to deliver mankind from Satan's power and his blinding influences. This work is soon to be inaugurated in the Messianic kingdom. When the kingdom is set up, the Lord Jesus will bind that old serpent, the devil, with a great chain that he may deceive the nations no more for 1,000 years. While Christ will be lifting up all mankind from sin, degradation, and death. End of quote. again, written 5 months before his death. Reprint 4986. The work of giving mankind the necessary knowledge and assistance will be in the hands of Christ and the Church. Those who do not get the imputation of Christ's merit now, as the Church does, will never get it. But instead, they will get the benefit of the new covenant. In the case of the Church, if we were faithful until the very last day of our experience, and on that day proved unfaithful, it would certainly settle the matter as to our future. Similarly, we may say of the world that if any should prove unfaithful during their trial in the next age, the trial would end immediately, and undoubtedly the sentence would be to the second death. End of quote. Wow. Reprint 4988. What hope is there that the prophecy will ever be fulfilled, that Jesus, as the light of the world, will enlighten every man born into the world? Brother Russell goes on to write, the Bible answers that God will fulfill this very matter in his own time, but that God's time cannot be hastened, that before the world will be enlightened, a saintly class, the Church, the Bride of Christ, must be enlightened and must be completed and glorified together with her Lord. Then, and not until then, will the Savior and his Church in glory be the great Sun of Righteousness, which will arise over the earth and shine forth for the healing of the people, for the scattering of the darkness of sin and the lies of error, the bringing of life, peace, joy, and blessing to all who will accept the favor in harmony with the divine requirements. Brother Russell goes on to write, for 1,000 years, the glorious Sun of Righteousness, the Church and his bride, will shine out. The work will be thorough and complete. End of quote. So what can you deduce from this? Well, at this time, he thought that the millennial kingdom would be 1,000 years long. What did Brother Russell feel restitution would bring? Reprint 4988. He writes, it means restitution to the condition first enjoyed by Adam, lost by sin, but redeemed by the sacrifice finished at Calvary. End of quote. So what was lost? Life. Perfection. So what would be restored, he felt? Life. Perfection. Reprint 4990. Written in 1912. We see that there is no throne yet established, and that there is none right now. We are waiting for the time to come when the throne will be established, and when the water of life will flow out. The election of the Church of God will have been completed, and every creature will come to a knowledge of the truth, and will have the opportunity of attaining to the full perfection made possible by the redemptive work of Christ. End of quote. And from 4991, we shall judge the world not now, under present conditions, but after we shall all been changed in the first resurrection. When we reach that condition of bodily likeness, as well as character likeness to our Lord, we shall be his associate, his wife, the royal priesthood. There will be plenty of time for us to judge the world. Brother Russell goes on to say this, all the lessons we get now will only develop us for that time. All the experiences we have with ourselves, you judging yourself and I myself, the better we shall be prepared for the opportunity which God will give us by and by. Whoever has not learned to rule his own spirit is in no condition to rule others. He concludes with, whoever has not learned to judge his own heart motives and has not put a restraint on them to the best of his ability is not prepared to sit in judgment upon another. Taken from 4995. Some of the Lord's people boast that they do their own thinking, but the wisest course is for us to do our own believing. And some subjects are a matter of inference and not of knowledge. These different doctrinal matters are drawn from the Scriptures. Brother Russell goes on to write, but as soon as we begin to reason about the things not written, there is a danger of conflict. He says, whoever sticks most closely to the word of God will thereby not only do himself good, but also be able to avoid controversy with other brethren and their philosophies. The difficulty seems to be that there is a tendency in such matters to fight each thought to the finish, to want everybody to agree with us, whereas the proper way is to be content and let the matter rest. Each brother has a right to his own opinion, he writes. We have no right to make our own views tests. I like those thoughts. Those are very wise. Taken from 50:30, I quote, "Nevertheless, in God's order, the earthly kingdom and restitution blessings for the world cannot begin until the kingdom class, church, Christ in the church, shall first be completed. The glorification of the church, her resurrection to perfection, must first be accomplished before the blessings through them can proceed to the natural seed of Abraham, and then through Israel to all the nations." He writes that from Hebrews 11:38-40. There's a common thought through these thoughts. These happened just before he died. Reprint 53:28. "We are waiting for the time to come when the government of the world will be turned over to Messiah. We cannot say that it may not be either October 1914 or October 1915. It is possible that we may be out of the correct reckoning on the subject a number of years. We cannot say with certainty. We do not know. It is a matter of faith and not of knowledge." He concludes with, "We walk by faith, not by sight." Reprint 53:29. He's speaking about 1914. "But we can see how the Lord might purposely leave us in a measure of ignorance in this matter. We do not know positively that the month of October 1914 will see the church all glorified and the time of trouble ushered in. We merely say, here are the evidences, here are the proofs." He writes, "Look at them for yourself and see what you think. It is for each to accept or reject the facts." End of quote. I got to say wow again, because that's just an amazing spirit to follow. He says, "Look at them for yourself, see what you think." Brother Russell sponsored Christian liberty. Taken from 49:95, he writes, "The truth attracts strong characters. We are to remember that these brethren who find it so difficult to dwell together in unity have this difficulty in part because of their intrinsic worth or character." He goes on to write, "So it is with the Lord's jewels. The more they come together, the more they get awakened up, the more opportunities there will be for friction, and the greater necessity there will be that all be sorely embedded in and covered with the Holy Spirit, which is like oil. It is smooth and unctuous and tends to prevent friction." End of quote. It's a nice thought. Taken from 55:26, he's writing comments on Daniel in the image. "This crushing of the feet of the image was to come in the end of the age and would be that preparatory step to the establishment of Messiah's kingdom. So long as these governments would be here, they and Messiah's kingdom could not cooperate. The Gentile governments are based on selfishness and coercion. Christ's kingdom will be based on justice, love, mercy, and to the Prince of Peace. The two could not rule at the same time." End of quote. The two cannot rule at the same time. How does this affect our beliefs? You study it for yourself. That's your Christian liberty. Reprint 53:48. They received a lot of mail in at the Tower, just like many of the organizations do today, just like the Dawn Bible students do. Brethren are writing in all the time, and there's many inquiries. Taken from 53:48, "Another letter received inquired respecting the proper treatment that should be given to a member of a class who insisted on opposing the chronology and denouncing all faith in October 1914. Brother Russell writes, "Our reply may be applicable in either case. It is to the effect that nobody should be especially encouraged in such an opposition, for a bad spirit is always objectionable and injurious. However, we should not denounce those who in proper spirit, express their dissent in respect to the date mentioned and what may be expected, nor should we feel aggrieved towards them. He goes on to write, we should recognize the individual rights of all and treat everybody according to the golden rule, nor should we feel at liberty to express our views more dogmatically than we would think right for others to do in expressing their views. He goes on to write, to some, faith in the matter may become almost as strong and convincing as knowledge. Nevertheless, it is not knowledge, it is faith. We must admit that there are possibilities of our having made a mistake in respect to the chronology. He goes on to write, if others feel equally convinced respecting some other date which does not appeal to us, we should not on that count reject them as members of the body of Christ. Rather, we should say, whether you or we have the correct date, we must all agree that the signs of the times as we read them indicate clearly that the Master is nigh. He writes, the Master is even at the door, and that his kingdom is soon to begin to take control. This means that whether within 1 year or within 10 or 20 years, the things which we are expecting will surely be accomplished. The church will be gathered. The messianic reign of righteousness will begin, preceded as foretold by the great time of trouble. Be especially careful on this point, he writes, when the subject of discussion is one respecting one which we have no positive knowledge. End of quote. I love his wisdom. I love it. I think it's great. Have I been conducting myself this way? Have you been conducting yourself this way? In 1913, Brother Russell said that in 10 or 20 years, he didn't know. It could have been 1923 or 1933, but one thing he did know was, be very careful on this point. You have no positive knowledge. He certainly didn't, and we certainly don't, and I certainly don't. Brother Russell's message was clear. His message was, be careful one with another. Be delicate one with another, the same way you wish that the Lord would deal with you. Reprint 5348, I quote, a clear view of prophecy from time to time, the editor has assured the friends that the features of the truth that become more and more distinct to him, he would surely give the Watchtower readers the benefit of this clearer view. In other words, he would keep nothing back. He did evolve. Did Brother Russell feel chronology was perfect and we should build our faith completely on it? He absolutely said no. Reprint 5450, I quote, we remind our readers here that in these columns, in the 6 volumes of study in the scriptures, we have set forth everything pertaining to the times and seasons in a tentative form. That is to say, not with positiveness, not with the claim that we knew, but merely with the suggestion that thus and so seems to be the teaching of the Bible. We have pointed out that the chronology is the basis of nearly all the suggestions of prophetic interpretations set forth in studies in the scriptures. We pointed out there that the chronology of the Bible is not stated with great clearness, that fractions of years are ignored, and that there are certain breaks in it. He goes on to write, we have suggested that ordinarily the chronology would be quite insufficient as evidence, and that our acceptance of it is based on faith, on the supposition that God wished to give us a chronology, wished that we might have some knowledge of the times and seasons, and yet wished that we might be so obscure and indefinite as to require faith on the part of his people. End of quote. Is chronology our religion? Is chronology my religion? Or is the gospel of Christ what calls us to action? He goes on to write, having thus set the matter before the minds of our readers, we asked each to judge for himself as to how much faith he would repose in the chronology and any application of the prophecies connected with it. End of quote. He goes on to write, and I like this part, having put all our readers on notice to use their own judgment, we proceeded to use this chronology. We assumed that all intelligent readers realized this, and that all such were using their own judgment, not ours, in respect to the chronology and in respect to the applications of the prophecies along the lines of that chronology. He concludes with, "We ask you all to still do this." He goes on to write, "It now seems unreasonable to expect during this present year all that we had anticipated as suggested previously. We must wait and see." End of quote. Am I willing to follow the pastor's advice of wait and see? Are you willing to follow the advice of wait and see? Have I hung on to one of Brother Russell's viewpoints early on in his walk? One thing Brother Russell did from time to time in the reprints was to put in self-tests. They can be fun and enlightening. And we're going to try a self-test with you today. There's going to be 5 questions, and I'll call upon each of you to come up and give the answer. I'm just kidding. But maybe think about it like this. If this were a public meeting, you know, what if you were asked to give a testimony, or what if you were asked these 5 questions? So answer them to yourself, and the goal is you want the answer to roll off your tongue. Question number 1. You ready? What year do many believe Christ returned invisibly? What year do many believe the sleeping saints were raised? What year do many believe the Gentile times ended? In the prophecy of Daniel, there were blank weeks. If you become the bride of Christ, name 4 duties that you will have during the 1,000 years. I couldn't answer the last one. I've asked many brethren that question. Okay, so the answers, we all want the answers. We believe Christ returned 1874, sleeping saints raised 1878, Gentile times ended 1914, prophecy of Daniel, 70 weeks. And I stumbled, and other brethren stumbled, when we couldn't rattle off 4 things that are required of the bride in the next age. This self-test taught me something. I asked many brethren these same questions. How do you think they did? Good on chronology. Poor on that last question. Understanding our job duties in the next age will allow us to prepare today and see more clearly the scriptures. For example, the reason we must love all the brethren is that you must love all the world in the next age. Why? Because the entire world must be raised from the tomb. You have no choice to pick and choose who will be raised. You will love them all because the ransom was for all, especially the murderers and thieves. That is why you must love the brethren. That's a test. Show no impartiality. Where is my focus? Where has our focus been as the body of Christ? Are dates the most important focus of my Christian walk? This test reveals where we have been spending our time. What do you think Brother Russell would say on the matter? Reprint 5925, entitled A Word of Warning. He urges the church to add quality after quality of character preparation, that thus they may be fitted for the glorious things that God has promised to the faithful. By exercising faith and demonstrating loyalty, these new creatures will be able to please Him and to work out the proper character as enjoined in His words, developing the fruits and graces of the Holy Spirit. If you do these things, the apostle says, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The 4 things that the bride will do in the next age, not in this particular order, are or may be: assist in raising mankind out of the tomb, to justly hand out stripes and punishments, to judge fairly between the nations, to properly guide mankind as they walk up the highway of holiness. Do I believe these 4 points are all there will be to do in the next age by the church? I'm not sure. I'm going to have to set aside my chronological questions, my restitution discussions, and study what is the most important feature of our lives, the fruits of the Spirit and character development. May the Lord overrule anything said amiss here today, and may the Lord add His blessing.